In the headlines, a total of 82 medical emergencies form the majority of some 89 ambulance calls received by fire and emergency officials throughout the weekend. Officials at St. Lucia's Air and Seaport Authority have underscored the importance of personal organization in ensuring the efficient collection of cargo throughout the 2019 concessional period. And the 2019 Caribbean Boxing Championships came to an end last night in Trinidad, with the championship going to host Trinidad and Tobago, Guyana taking second place and Barbados in third. Details coming up.
Giving at Massey Stores Supermarket and TJ's. Over 5.5 million loyalty points to be won. That's how we're spreading the love. Every week, we're giving away 50,000 loyalty points to two lucky customers at each Massey Stores Supermarket location and 25,000 loyalty points to one lucky customer at TJ's. Enter with every $100 spent and remember to swipe your Massey card. Promotion runs until December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Season's greetings from your Massey Stores family.
Honey, I just looked at the insurance for the house and realized that you put the stated value to be less than half of what the realtor says it's worth?
Yeah, I did that on purpose to keep the premium down.
But you do realize that if anything happens, we could only build back half of the house, right?
Bye. Don't insure half your home. Being underinsured is as bad as not being insured. Get a certified appraiser to assess your property and make sure you insure it at the correct rebuild value. Hon, what are you doing with the tape measure?
I'm checking to see where you're going to sleep in your half a house.
Magical Insurances. Fast, fair, and always there.
For your shopping convenience, Sunbelt Bexhill has extended its shopping hours this Christmas season. From Monday, 9th of December, we're open from Monday to Thursday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Fridays, 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Season's greetings from the management and staff of Sunbelt Bexhill, your hardware store.
And now with the details of the news, I am Kiba Talium. A total of 82 medical emergencies form the majority of some 89 ambulance calls received by fire and emergency officials throughout the weekend. Multiple incidents involving physical assaults, motor vehicle accidents, and one shooting also required the attention of emergency responders island-wide. Divisional Officer David Antoine detailed the responses issued by fire and emergency officers.
On the weekend of December 6th to the 9th, the fire department responded to a total of 89 ambulance calls. 82 of these responses were medical emergencies. The nature of these incidents included 6 physical assaults, 6 motor vehicle accidents, and 1 shooting incident. On Saturday, December 7th, at approximately 3 a.m., fire officers from the Q4 fire station responded to a physical assault at New Village, Mikud. On arrival at the scene, emergency personnel assessed and treated a young male for laceration to the head and hands. He was subsequently transported to the St. Jude's Hospital for further medical attention. On Sunday, November 8th, at approximately 2:57 p.m., fire officers from the Castries Fire Station responded to a head-on motor vehicle collision at C0. That incident was between a motorcycle and a coaster. On arrival at the scene, emergency personnel assessed and treated the rider of the motorcycle for pain about the body. He was fully immobilized and subsequently transported to the Victoria Hospital for further medical attention. On Sunday, December 8th, at approximately 6:50 p.m., fire officers from the Babano Fire Station responded to a shooting incident at C0. The victim of the incident was transported to a medical institution before the arrival of emergency personnel on the scene. The fire department also responded to a total of 4 fires, which consisted of 1 electrical pole and 3 structural fires. On Saturday, December 7th, at approximately 12:52 a.m., fire officers from the Castries Fire Station responded to a structural fire on Parsi Road. The structure consisted of a single-room apartment. The fire was based on the safety control by neighbors. On arrival at the scene, fire officers completely extinguished what was left of the fire, which was confined to the room of origin.
Divisional officer at the St. Lucia Fire Service, David Antoine. Meanwhile, law enforcement officials have launched an investigation into the death of a 32-year-old male while in police custody. Identified as Shem Sinaiz, a resident of Labri, the deceased was discovered on Saturday evening, detailing a conversation with relatives about his death. A weekend article issued by the St. Lucia Times notes, quote, one relative stated Shem had been arrested on Thursday after a report was made to the police that he had stolen valuables from his brother after breaking into their mother's house and had also fought with his sister. It was explained that the family was not informed that Shem was in custody until the following day, Friday. The family member told the St. Lucia Times that according to information received by the relatives of the deceased, he had asked to use the washroom at the police station. It was reported after that Shem did not exit the washroom. A check was made and he was found hanging, end quote. While law enforcement officials have not released an official statement on the details of the ongoing investigation, a press briefing is scheduled for 1 p.m. today. The final phase of the competitiveness agenda for St. Lucia was completed at the end of November, with the final document to be presented in December 2019 for implementation in 2020. The competitiveness agenda focuses on St. Lucia's comparative advantage and the strategic actions required creating a competitive advantage for the island. The agenda is spearheaded by the National Competitiveness and Productivity Council with funding from Compete Caribbean Partnership Facility. More in this report from Glenn Simon.
The National Competitiveness and Productivity Council, NCPC, was established with the mandate to provide solutions to government and other stakeholders on issues pertaining to competitiveness and productivity on island. As such, the NCPC has embarked on the creation of a competitiveness agenda to boost St. Lucia's economic growth, increase diversity and availability of jobs, increase access to finance, among many other areas, to create a competitive advantage for St. Lucia. Financing the agenda is Compete Caribbean Partnership Facility. Dr. Kyron Swift is the project development consultant with Compete Caribbean.
The competitiveness agenda really has zero in and focus on the areas of strength, of comparative advantage that St. Lucia has, and then identifies the specific priority actions that need to be taken to really hone and refine those areas to a particular competitive advantage that will allow St. Lucia to compete with similar countries who are operating in its space, as is for this purpose largely the tourism and services space, and that will also really put it on a firm ground for continued growth, continued generation of jobs, revenues, and exports.
Dr. Swift added that the competitiveness agenda will provide a mechanism for coordinating and monitoring the various activities, with key stakeholders playing a vital role in fostering synergies for increased information sharing to arrive at the common goal of a more competitive St. Lucia. Director of the NCPC, Fiona Hingson, noted that the NCPC will play a central role in bringing stakeholders together.
The NCPC is expected to be the central coordinating body for the agenda. We will be working with key stakeholders or key agencies that will be implementing the company's agenda. So although we are coordinating agencies in government, like possibly Export St. Lucia, Invest St. Lucia, as well as the Department of Commerce, amongst other agencies, will be the implementers for the agenda.
Compete Caribbean has pledged continued assistance to the NCPC in the implementation phase of the competitiveness agenda.
So, to put it in numerical terms, we have just under, 100,000 U.S. of technical assistance still available to be provided, and the express purpose of that is, just as you put it, hand-holding the agency, starting with the NCPC, as you move forward into what are you going to specifically do next week, the following week, next quarter, next 6 months, and so on, to bring the agenda to life, until it reaches a point where it develops its own momentum and can keep going. But we're not there yet, so that's what the focus is going to be in terms of the early stages of implementation.
The NCPC aims to create a competitiveness index to measure the agenda's performance, while benchmarking St. Lucia's performance against that of other regional territories. The competitiveness agenda utilizes a smart specialization approach and focuses on St. Lucia's tourism industry and the competitive advantages and opportunities which can be explored and further developed. For the National Competitiveness and Productivity Council, Glenn Simon reporting.
Officials at St. Lucia's Air and Seaport Authority have underscored the importance of personal organization in ensuring the efficient collection of cargo throughout the 2019 concessional period. Earlier this year, an announcement was made by the government of St. Lucia identifying November 15, 2019 to January 31, 2020 as the period for national concessions on the importation of barrels to St. Lucia. Coordinator for Compliance and Monitoring in the Seaport Operations Department of SLASFA, Tamara Gabriel Howell, speaking earlier today, outlined the necessary procedure to be adhered to in the collection of cargo.
As long as your barrel is shipped through one of the agents in St. Lucia, you get your documents from the agent. The containers are destuffed. The documents are prepared by the agent. The customer retrieves the documents from the agent. They must ensure that the requisite stamps and signatures are on the documents. And also, since we have a spillover of cargo going into Shed 7, that's temporary shed for barrel trade, customers need to ensure that the agent indicates on the documents which shed their cargo is located. And after which you come to us with your documents, you have to go through Gate 1, Port Police section. They issue you with a pass. Port Police, of course, has the right to search anyone if they require. And you proceed to the shed. The Port Police will direct you as to which shed your cargo is located based on your documents. And you come to our counter where our very able staff will assist you in providing a location as well as direct you to customs to examine your cargo. After your cargo is examined, you will pay your customs duties if there are any. And you come to us to get your gate pass receipt, which has to be presented at our exit of the shed and also at Port Police. Ensure that your driver's name and vehicle registration information is available, readily available for our staff, because it is entered on the gate pass receipt that is issued to you after you've completed the entire process.
Communication and Public Relations Officer at SLASFA, Gina McPhee, commented on the rationale for recent adjustments made to operational hours of the authority.
Realizing the amount of traffic that can come with the barrel concession period, SLASFA has seen it necessary to provide the public with some extended hours of which they are able to clear their barrels, because we PM persons get that opportunity to come in. That is also so the lunch hour is also included. From 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. persons also get that opportunity, as well as December 23rd, 27th and the 30th, 2019, from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. you can come in to clear that barrel. So it's not only before Christmas, but you have that opportunity. If you did not clear it before Christmas, you have those days available where you can come in and get your barrel cleared. The barrel concession period, we should note, is it began in November, but it goes up until January 31st. So, I mean, it's a part where persons can play their part in following the procedure that has been outlined by my colleague. But it's also important to just remember, keep it in mind, when you come in the port, ensure that you have your documentation. And the process will go smoothly. You will not get yourself stuck in the traffic that is there, because a lot of persons have their barrels coming in. But you know, you could enjoy a comfortable process. You clear your barrel, you go home, and you enjoy the season.
Communications and Public Relations Officer at SLASFA, Gina McPhee. The 2019 Caribbean Boxing Championships came to an end last night in Trinidad, with the championship going to host Trinidad and Tobago, Guyana taking the second position and Barbados in third. St. Lucia gained a silver medal through Dudley O'Shaughnessy, who lost to Jamaican, Toronto-based Joshua Fraser in a close contest. Joseph Fritz Ferreira has more in this report.
Well, the 2019 championships came to an end last night, close to midnight, with Trinidad and Tobago, although having a couple of losses to some medal contenders going for gold, Michael Alexander, for example, in the 64 kg and their super heavyweight, Paul, they still managed to nose out Barbados, who surprisingly got past Guyana by 1 point. and Guyana having to end up in the third position. From a St. Lucian point of view, Dudley O'Shaughnessy picked up a silver. He fought Joffre Fraser, a Toronto Canadian-based boxer who has got a huge amount of fights, very experienced. But let's talk to maybe Dudley's father, who was in fact his coach. Dudley, how do you rate the performance of your son?
Very well. We had two hard-fought contests. The first one was against the home nation, Trinidad and Tobago's Tyrone Thomas, who was a bronze medalist in this year's Pan American Games. We got through that, and we met Joshua Fraser in the final. It was a really crowd-pleasing performance. I was really happy with the way he performed. It was a good fight. We gained a lot of experience from it, and we'll move on to next year full of confidence.
Mason Dudley's hopes to go to the qualifiers for the Olympic Games in Japan. Do you think he needs maybe some more bouts before he goes there?
Possibly, yeah. It's difficult for us because we're based in Europe, so we do all our training in Europe. So to get over here and fight and find the top competitions is not easy. But we've been in a few tournaments now, and we can see what the difference in styles are over here. And I mean, we done well against the Pan American bronze medalist. So if that was the case, that we met up with that standard of fighter, we would be qualified for the Olympics because it's the top four. So we're quietly confident. There's a lot of positives to take from what we've got. We'll go back and analyse the footage, and I'm sure we can make final tweaks for the upcoming tournaments.
This bout last night was described as the bout of the tournament between Fraser and O'Shaughnessy. You think that's a fair description?
I think that's a very fair description. After the, what I noticed as well, after the fight had been over and we was by the medical table, Dudley was standing there and the winner, Joshua Fraser, was standing there. And there was more people coming up to Dudley because they was impressed by the heart that he showed and the skill set he showed. A lot of the elders people were saying that he was doing stuff that a lot of people wouldn't recognise what he was doing, but they could pick up on the stuff that he was doing. So it was positive feedback, and we go forward.
A quick comment on the standard of the tournament overall?
It was a good standard. I mean, the facilities were fantastic. We was well looked after. Everybody was well accommodated for. If you never had something, they would try their hardest to make sure you had what you needed. So, for overall, it was a positive experience.
So the London-based boxers goes off to their journey tomorrow, and the St. Lucian-based personnel will be heading home tomorrow after lunch. Red Pereira from the Port of Spain 2019 Boxing Championships.
The importance of developing the skills of leadership in young women formed the focal point of the winning response by the 2019 Miss Universe contestant, Zozibini Tunzi. Tunzi is the first black woman to win the competition since Leila Lopez in 2011. More than 90 women from across the world took part in the pageant, which was held in Atlanta in the U.S. on Sunday. Speaking in the wake of her victory, the South African contestant, who is a known advocate for natural beauty as well as a passionate activist in the fight against gender-based violence, stated, quote, "I grew up in a world where a woman who looked like me, with my kind of skin and my kind of hair, was never considered to be beautiful. I think that it is time that stops today," end quote. As part of the question segment of the competition, contestants were quizzed on topics such as climate change, protests, and social media, with the newly crowned Miss Universe responding to this inquiry.
What is the most important thing we should be teaching young girls today?
I think the most important thing we should be teaching young girls today is leadership. It's something that has been lacking in young girls and women for a very long time, not because we don't want to, but because of what society has labeled women to be. I think we are the most powerful beings on the world, and that we should be given every opportunity, and that is what we should be teaching these young girls, to take up space. Nothing as important as taking up space in society and cementing yourself. Thank you.
Winning contestant of the 2019 Miss Universe pageant, Zozibini Tunzi. Now to the regional news developments brought to you with the kind compliments of Tire Zone.
Getting brand new quality tires and rims for your vehicles have never been so easy. Tire Zone in the blue building next to the VG roundabout sells tires for motorcycles for as low as $180. What? But that's not all. Tire Zone also stock tires for all types of vehicles, including 13-inch for as low as $99, 14-inch starting from $150, 15-inch starting at $185, 16-inch for as low as $195, and 17-inch starting from only $200. Why buy used tires when you can get quality brand new tires for such low prices at Tire Zone? Visit us in the blue building next to the VG roundabout or call 452-1313, 486-4459 or 724-5996. Again, 452-1313, 486-4459 or 724-5996. Email us at tirezone.slu@gmail.com. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram. Tire Zone.
This is the Carib Update News Service. I'm Wendy Chateau reporting. New Dominica cabinet to be sworn in December 17 following general elections there that observers have declared free and fair. This is the big story we're tracking this hour on Monday, December 9, 2019. Details of this story and more straight ahead. Now for the details. Dominica's Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrett, who was sworn in for a fifth time as the island's Prime Minister on the weekend following Friday's general elections, says he will announce his new cabinet December 17. The confirmed margin of victory is 18-3 after a recount in the Castle Bruce constituency, which saw the seat going to first-timer Octavia Alfred. Observers from CARICOM, the Commonwealth, and the Organization of American States have all declared the elections free and fair and said it reflected the will of the Dominica people. Head of the OAS mission, former Bahamas Prime Minister Hubert Ingraham, said they were satisfied with what they witnessed.
We are here to tell you that we observed the electoral process and that we are satisfied that on election day, the people who voted, their votes reflected the will of those who voted. That is our conclusion. That they came in. They came in. There were poll workers from both parties, and they cast their ballots, and the ballots were counted.
The Commonwealth Observer team, headed by Zainab Bangura, a former Minister of Foreign Affairs in Sierra Leone and former Under Secretary General at the United Nations, also had the same view.
The observations of the groups are that voters who turned out were able to identify themselves satisfactorily to electoral officials and exercise their franchise.
In response to a direct question from a talk show host claiming widespread irregularities, Ingraham said his team found differently.
We didn't find any irregularity of sufficient consequence to be able to affect the will of the people as expressed at the ballot box yesterday.
But opposition leader Lennox Linton said it was anything but free and fair, saying that except in the three constituencies his party candidates won, people were enticed to vote for the incumbent.
The elections were rigged. They were stolen. And so we don't recognize the results. In our collective responsibility for the advancement of global civilization, we should not elevate skullduggery to a virtue by congratulating those who succeed with dishonesty.
Well, the Commonwealth said there was almost no challenge to the identity of people who showed up to vote.
We can report that we observe very few instances of voters' identifications being challenged in polling stations.
Prime Minister Skerrett said the way the elections were conducted demonstrate that no one can contest what the will of the people were.
And everybody, I must say, was respectful of each other at every polling station as far as the reports reaching me state. And there are people who stood in line for 5 hours patiently waiting to vote. And take into consideration the threats of violence and actual violence, many people did not expect us to have a situation where people would be able to go to the polls, have access to the polls. But no one in this country was impeded from going to vote and voting for a candidate of his or her choice.
Bangura said that in the lead-up to the polls, it was unfortunate that what she called some actors tried to instigate violence.
It was therefore unfortunate that the language of violence was encouraged by some political actors and that there were outbreaks of violence. The right to peaceful protest is paramount, but there's no place for violence in the electoral process.
Prime Minister Skerrit said he was pleased with the way people conducted themselves on election day.
And so I want to congratulate all Dominicans for letting the world know that we are a mature nation and we are a mature people. And indeed, we are a God-fearing people and we respect the rule of law. Because the world was watching us and had been watching us for some time. And I think we have confounded many interest groups around the world who felt that our political process would have descended into chaos.
The Dominican leader said he will move to set up a commission to deal with the many debated areas of electoral reform.
It is my intention, as indicated, to invite a Caribbean jurist to chair a commission. And our intention is to also invite other partners in the hemisphere to assist us in carrying the process forward. And there will be both private and public hearings, and those who want to share their views will have an opportunity to share their views. And that coming out of these consultations overseen by this commission and chaired by these juries, we can agree on what the legislation should entail to usher in electoral reform.
More extensive coverage Monday night on the Carib Update regional television news show, Primetime Caribbean. Check your cable listings for times and channels. This is Newsbreak from the Carib Update News Service. In more news, former St. Kitts and Nevis Prime Minister Dr. Denzel Douglas has called a report in London's The Daily Mail totally false, malicious and libelous. The newspaper claimed he was detained recently at a London airport and had a huge sum of money taken from him. Douglas was quoted as saying that he was never detained or arrested in London. The former Prime Minister denied he was under investigation for anything in London. The Daily Mail was the only newspaper in England that carried the report, and Labour Party officials in St. Kitts and Nevis were quick to point out that 2 years ago Wikipedia had discontinued using it as a source because of what it called at the time unreliable reporting. The report has generated a huge debate in Basseterre, especially with 2020 expected to be an election year. St. Kitts Nevis Festival organizers have announced the first set of artists who will perform in the 2020 event. Jamaican act Jimmy Cliff, one of reggae's legends, and the upcoming sensation Kofi have been already confirmed for the event, the organizers have said. They've also announced that African sensation Wizkid will also be among the lineup. This has been another edition of Newsbreak from the Carib Update News Service, the Caribbean's newsroom. I am Wendy Chateau.
It is now 1 p.m. Time check brought to you exclusively by Axel Finance.
Yes. Axel Finance, this Christmas I want a loan. Axel Finance, I can do stuff for my home. Axel Finance, finally curtains for my room. Axel Finance, I go with Axel Finance. Ready in a way. Soap, fridge, washer, love stuff, home appliances. From now till December, it's joy and happiness. It's for every family member. That's what Christmas is. With Axel Finance, bring on happiness. Let me go. Finally, I can get the loan I need. Axel Finance is giving away home appliances.
Visit Axel Finance or call us today at 450-8222. Terms and conditions apply.
Bring home happiness.
To end the news. The regional news development is brought to you with the kind compliments of Tire Zone.
Getting brand new quality tires and rims for your vehicles have never been so easy. Tire Zone in the blue building next to the VG roundabout sells tires for motorcycles for as low as $180. What? But that's not all. Tire Zone also stock tires for all types of vehicles, including 13-inch for as low as $99, 14-inch starting from $150, 15-inch starting at $185, 16-inch for as low as $190. And 17-inch starting from only $200. Why buy used tires when you can get quality brand new tires for such low prices at Tire Zone? Visit us in the blue building next to the VG roundabout or call 452-1313, 486-4459 or 724-5996. Again, 452-1313, 486-4459 or 724-5996. Email us at tirezone.slu@gmail.com. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram.
To end the news, a recap of the headlines. A total of 82 medical emergencies formed the majority of some 89 ambulance calls received by fire and emergency officials throughout the weekend. Officials at the St. Lucia's Air and Seaport Authority have underscored the importance of personal organization in ensuring the efficient collection of cargo throughout the 2019 concessional period. And the 2019 Caribbean Boxing Championships came to an end last night in Trinidad, with the Boxing Championship going to host Trinidad and Tobago, Guyana taking the second position, and Barbados in third. This has been the Midday News Edition. I am Kiba Talium. Good afternoon.